Today on this rainy day on the Travel Guys.
Boy, things are busy around here at KFBK on that today. In the travel news, did you hear about the new really cheap airfare? You fly in the cargo hold. United is beta testing it. We have details on that, along with the casting call for the Laguna Pageant of the Masters in the news.
We have a fascinating new addition to the Travel Guys team, a self-proclaimed travel blogger and Snapchat influencer. Drew Goldberg makes his debut at 3:20.
We talked about people who fake their ailments to get pre-boarded on flights, but what about those who have real disabilities? Is it true many disabled people hate the dehumanizing experience that often comes with flying? Jessica Monsell is here at 3:35 to report.
And finally, at 3:45, our friend Gwen Duncan is back to talk about volunteerism. More and more people are including give-back elements in their travel, and Gwen has details.
Thank you for coming along with us on a rainy, understatement, Sunday afternoon. Making you a smarter traveler in the next 60 minutes, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. King of the road. Riding on the city.
With the show.
Welcome, everyone, with and without flood insurance to the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark, do you have any difficulty getting into work in the
weather? Just swam right in. It was no problem at all. just a breaststroke down Arden Way, and then just a little sight. I actually went to a birthday party today. So
okay.
I have pictures to show off here, like any good uncle would have pictures to show off, because my great niece Haley has turned 6 years old, and there's a picture of Haley.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. She's got a little glow stick thing around her neck. In fact, her cake looks like it's fluorescent or something.
She's into unicorns. So
yeah,
the cake had six layers. It was all different colored, and it had a unicorn on the top, and it's all...
That's very cool.
Yeah, so that's what Uncle Mark was doing this morning. Swam out to Roseville, and then...
My Little Pony, it looks like.
Yeah.
My girls were My Little Ponies. Well, congratulations.
Well, happy birthday.
Absolutely.
To Haley.
Happy birthday.
And
Haley.
Hi to her little brother, Jordan. And, I was on Uncle Mark duty this morning.
So. Good. And then I knew you did. You tell them that you were going to be on the radio today, so they're probably listening with all their little friends.
You think so? No. I think probably not. They were out at Bounce U. You know, there's these places now where kids have their parties. It's a little different than when we were kids. And they go, and the kids can run and play and exert themselves and wear themselves out. And then at that point, then they take them in and give them cake and ice cream and stuff like that. And then the parents take them home, and they're done for the day. So it's a pretty good plan, you know. If you bribe them a little bit, you can wear the children out. They have a whole area out there in Roseville with a bunch of these different places.
Very good, very good. I went to Modesto, weathered the weather, and visited with my brother and my nieces and nephews down there. I want to say hi to my brother David and my nephew Davey and all of his family. They are Travel Guy listeners, find out, you know, yeah.
You weathered the weather.
I did.
I
weathered the weather.
You weathered the weather. Yeah. We best get going here. We have a pretty busy show.
Let's do it.
Today.
Let's fire off the Huey Lewis and the news. News music. As Mark brings us up to date on what's been going on
in
the travel
news.
No
one ever picked up on that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. So we were kidding about the new airfare for flying in the cargo hold. Some of you probably heard about this. A luggage handler from United Airlines was locked inside from Charlotte to Dulles on New Year's Day. And when he got there, apparently he had lost his ID, had come loose somewhere in the cargo hold, and they couldn't find it. So they couldn't identify him as an airport employee on the other end. So they were a little bit concerned, but apparently the guy didn't need any medical treatment or anything. Apparently they didn't fly at an altitude for long enough. That was Charlotte to D.C. is not a very long flight.
Yeah, unlike that guy that snuck in onto the plane by way of where the wheels come up.
Yeah, the wheel well. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Well, this was an involuntary. Apparently they knew the guy was in there because it in Charlotte when he didn't show up.
What happened to Bob?
He was
just here
a minute ago. Yeah. You suppose he's in that airplane that's taxiing down the runway?
Boy.
And then someone in my office said, wouldn't the guy bang on the You know, I mean, as they were sealing things up and stuff, wouldn't he take something you know, it's only aluminum. You would think that people would be able to hear right. you, you know, or maybe he just wanted to fly for 30 minutes up to Washington, D.C. Open casting call for volunteers of all ages. This is your chance to be a part of the famous Pageant of the Masters in Laguna Beach. We talked about this last year. I had a chance to see it for the first time. Be a part of the magic of living pictures. In next summer's 2017 showcase of the Grand Tour is the theme next year. No theater experience is necessary. Earn community service hours. Great summer activity. The casting call. Oh, wait a minute. The casting call has already happened.
Oh, no. Are you giving us old travel news?
It was yesterday
news?
And the day before.
Oh, my gosh. Well, shoot.
Well, there you go. Just goes to show you, when you've only got a program on once a week, you got to keep up on things
more. Yeah, shows that we're certainly live. And...
Hey, customs went down Monday night for 4 hours. So folks coming into the country had a hard time getting processed. There's no truth to the rumor that folks arriving in Sacramento didn't notice that customs was out. We have the slowest customs clearing times in the country.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of a little bit of a pun there. Anyway, passengers from more than 30 international flights in Miami were delayed entering the country. Two people passed out in the immigration line.
They're from standing with their knees locked like at a wedding.
Sounds like fun. Southwest Airlines has added two new cities and dozens of new routes in what is the largest shakeup of their system in about 15 years. They have dropped Akron, Canton, and Dayton, Ohio. Two Ohio cities go off the map. And when Ohio City comes on, the largest city that Southwest hadn't served yet, Cincinnati, which used to be a Delta hub, but isn't anymore. So Southwest will start flying to Cincinnati this June and stop flying to Dayton. And there are a bunch of other flights on here. None of them impact Sacramento directly because none of them are flights that come to or from Sacramento. But there are some other things that might, you know, if you're a connecting passenger or stuff like that. By the way, Southwest is flying to Salt Lake City now. Remember that. McDonald's has opened a new restaurant at the Vatican.
Well, sure. Why not?
Actually,
do they have to vie for space with Starbucks?
There's almost 40,000 McDonald's locations around the world, but there are none within sight of St. Peter's Square. But there is now.
You see the Pope with a large fry.
When it was announced in October, the news was met with fierce opposition from several cardinals, some of whom live in the Vatican-owned building that now houses the Big Mac purveyor. It was initially reported the tenants. Let's see here. The Vatican agency that approved the lease denied that the fast food franchise would mean any cost to the Cardinals. I think this is fascinating. However, here is the bottom line, I will bet you. McDonald's is paying the Vatican a 30,000 euro check a month for rent for the new McDonald's, which, by the way, will be open from 6:30 until 11, 7 days a week, including Sunday. At the Vatican. McDonald's comes to the Vatican. Okay, if you're a flyer and you're concerned, if you go on an airline's website or a third-party travel agency's website and you have a hard time finding out what the actual fare is and what the extra charges might be and what you're charged extra for and stuff like that, then this is for you. The Department of Transportation is asking people to comment at airtravelfairness.org. If you are a person who has at all concerned about airfares and the way they're presented, you can go to Travel Guys Radio. We have a link to it there, and you can make your voice heard. And speaking of websites, you and I both signed up for the Airport Insider from Sacramento International Airport last week to get us more informed. I'm surprised we hadn't done that before, but so I will tell all of our listeners, you should go to Travel Guys Radio. There's a link there. You can, if you travel frequently, it's worth your while to get the updates from our very own airport, and that would be the travel news.
Yeah, and I believe it is. By the way, do you think Ronald McDonald is Catholic? No, probably. I don't know. We are the Travel Guys coming up. We've got an interesting fella.
Yeah.
Drew Goldberg also goes by Drew Binsky.
Binsky.
Yeah, and...
We true confessions here. Yes. This is a recorded interview because this man called us from Vietnam, from Hanoi, Vietnam.
That's correct.
So this is really quite interesting, I think.
And unlike one of the stories in the news, I think all of this is going to be up to date.
Yes.
We'll find out.
Absolutely. We are the Travel Guys, and in 3 minutes, we'll be right back.
Well,
Welcome, everyone. You are in touch with the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And today we've got a guy that, well, let's put it this way. If you listen through this whole interview, you're going to be amazed at how much someone could accomplish by the time they're 24, 25 years old. Mark?
And I would also say, Tom, that there probably is somebody out there listening to this radio station right now who aspires to do exactly what this young man is doing. Drew Goldberg is our guest. He describes himself as a travel blogger and Snapchat influencer. And he is with us today from all the way across an ocean. Welcome, Drew, to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much, Mark and Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us where you are first.
I am currently in Hanoi, Vietnam. It is 1:06 a.m.
Hey, you sound chipper, alive and well.
Alive and well,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, a few cups of coffee a little bit ago.
Tell us what a Snapchat influencer is.
It basically means that I go around the world and influence people on my travels, and I collaborate with brands. Actually, I make a full living from Snapchat, or at least I did in 2016. That might change in the near future. But yeah, basically just going around the world and promoting different destinations.
Now, you were telling me before we started the interview that most recently you had done some travel in Germany, and that was an example, perhaps, of a client who was interested in what you had to say and what you thought about their destination.
Correct. Yeah, I was in. I spent 6 days in Germany. I spent 2 days in Berlin, Hamburg, and Leipzig, and I worked with the Germany National Tourism Office. They flew me out there. I basically went around the city, Snapchatted and Instagrammed my adventures, and wrote a blog post at the conclusion of my trip, and I charge a daily rate for that. So, that's just one example of a company that I've worked with.
Before we went on the air, Drew, I kind of described what you do, and for those that are listening, this might kind of put it in perspective. Drew is basically a marketing tool for his clients by using all of the new technology and the ways that people connect and get information, whether it's on a blog or Snapchat or Facebook or whatever. And Drew has that skill set that he can travel to these locations and post things that are interesting and exciting and basically bring the client's product to the forefront. Drew, why don't you tell people, I know I'm really interested in, how did this all start? This just to start with you with a desire to travel?
Yeah, so growing up, I always loved traveling. I played competitive hockey, so I traveled a bunch around the country. I went to Canada and Mexico, but I never really went abroad until my junior year of college. I studied abroad in Prague in the Czech Republic, and that really opened up my eyes to new cultures and new experiences and meeting people. And I lived in Prague for 5 months and traveled to about 20 countries in Europe during those 5 months. This is back 2012, so 5 years ago now. And then went back to school, graduated. I studied economics, but then I just wanted to keep traveling. So I took a job as teaching English in South Korea right after college, and that was almost 2.5 years ago, and here I am now.
And you are in Vietnam, and you've been there for a while, perhaps?
Yeah, and actually, I actually just moved here into an apartment like 2 days ago, but I'm planning to stay here for the next 6 months to a year, just kind of basing myself in Asia and traveling from Hanoi.
So tell us, I mean, since you're in Vietnam, and obviously it must be a place that you enjoy being because you've decided to be there for a while and you're a guy who travels all over, what is it about Vietnam that attracts you?
Yeah, so there are many things I love about this country. First of all, it's very, very cheap. Definitely the cheapest country I've been in my life. I just ate, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner today and spent under $3 US and, like, really good food. You know, I'm not eating, you know. Also, I just really like the people and the culture. It's very interesting. And it's nice to have a centrally located place to travel around Asia. There's a lot of budget airlines that fly. I can get to Bangkok in 2 hours. I can get to Manila in 2 hours. I can get to Korea in 2 hours. So it's a nice location, and I just feel really at home here.
Wow. It's, you know, Tom, isn't it amazing, Tom, folks who are our age and who can remember when Vietnam was, you know, not a good place to be. And here's a 25-year-old travel blogger who is talking about how it's a great place to be and it's a great central location and it's inexpensive. And these are all, I think, wonderful things. And I'm glad that we got a chance at least to talk a little bit about that. We're talking to Drew Goldberg. Drew is a travel blogger and Snapchat influencer. And you can find his website at travelguysradio.com. There is a link to it there if you're interested and you're listening and you'd like to look it up while we're talking. On your blog, you talked about that there were five sources of income that allow you to be able to do this. And for whomever might be listening who says, wow, that's something I'd like to do someday, how do you do this, Drew? How do you make, you're 25 years old, you live on the other side of the planet, and it's all working for you very well. So explain a little bit of how you've made that happen.
Yeah, so there's a variety of different ways that you can make money through travel blogging. Specifically, I have two travel blogs. The first one I started was called thehungrypartier.com. I started that when I was living in Korea, but I sort of rebranded myself as The Hungry Partier isn't exactly a great name to go by when I try to work with different clients. So my new blog is drewbinsky.com. Binsky is actually a nickname that I go by. If you follow me on social media, it's all at Drew Binsky, not Goldberg, just so you guys know. But anyway, so travel blogging, the two biggest ways you can make money on the blog are through affiliate links, which is basically where I can sell other products or other things that I recommend and get a commission from it. And also through sponsorships. So like a travel, like let's say a new startup travel app wants some promotions. They'll pay me X amount of money if I write a blog post about it, like a review almost, and link to their website and shout out their social media channels, et cetera. So those are the two primary sources of income through blogging. But also like through my career path, I guess, I also do press trips or sponsored trips, like I talked about with Germany, where I work directly with tourism boards. They'll invite me out to their country and I'll go around and share my experiences with my followers. So I guess the more followers I have and the more people that are consuming my content, the more money I can make and the more different companies that would be interested in working with me, if that makes sense. And another way, you know, that I make money is through Snapchat. So I brought that up. I do different collaborations with brands like TripIt, which is a travel organizing application. They'll pay me to take over their Snapchat. So I'll log into their account and create content for them, for their audience. But I'm making the story if you guys follow me. So yeah, that's another way.
Drew Binsky, Drew is on his website, says, Drew is a must follow for anyone who loves travel. And he's a lot of fun to watch if you go to this website and watch his travel reel. I ran across something I found fascinating. And if you could do it in less than a minute, Drew, tell us about the Guinness Book of World's Record that you set.
Yeah, so 2 months ago, I visited the most UNESCO World Heritage sites in 24 hours. So I visited 12 sites across Germany and the Netherlands with a buddy, my Spanish buddy, who I met in Myanmar. we just basically went to all the different sites only using public transportation, trains, buses, and airplanes. And it was awesome. We did it in 24 hours. And right after we finished, I'm a diehard Cubs fan, and right after I finished, I watched Game 7 of the World Series at a bar in Amsterdam at 3 in the morning, and it was like the best day of my life.
There you go, Mark. Mark's a big baseball fan.
I can definitely identify that. I'm a Giants fan, so you guys kind of took us down along the way. We're not bitter about it or anything, but there's always next year. That's the beauty of baseball.
I'm proud to say there's always next year for the first time in my life.
For the first That's a hoot. Drew, let me just ask you a question. I think there's an obvious answer to this, but Drew, how many schools did you go to and how many classes did you take to figure out this path in life?
How many schools? Like university?
Exactly. I mean, in other words, did you at any point in time, did you go to a hospitality school or did you take courses that were tourism related courses or anything like that?
No, zero. I went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison. I studied economics and entrepreneurship. So most of my classes were business and entrepreneurial oriented. So I guess what I'm doing now is entrepreneurial. So I always had that mindset, but I never once took any classes on tourism or travel or even teaching. When I went to go teach in English in Korea, my first day literally was my first time ever thinking about teaching. So you just kind of figure it out as you go.
Wow.
Thomas sounds like a guy that we want to keep an eye on. We probably want to follow
Absolutely.
Him because I think he might be going some places.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate the fact that you contacted us and that you were willing to get up and stay up until the middle of the night to be able to do an interview and talk with us. And maybe perhaps you'll be in a little bit closer place the next time that we talk, but I certainly hope there will be a next time. If you go someplace interesting or something cool happens, drop us a note. We would love to share it with our listeners.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it, guys. And if anyone has any travel questions at all, please email me. It's drew@drewbinsky.com. And all of my social media channels are just @drewbinsky. It's pretty easy.
We'll make sure that you're on the Travel Guys Radio website, and we'll find a spot for you so you can be there on a regular basis so folks can find you. Thank you. Drew Binsky, awesome. Also known as Drew Goldberg, all the way from Vietnam.
I really appreciate it.
And that is travelguysradio.com.
You can find all a link to Drew there. Really a fascinating young man. And as he kind of travels the planet here, it would be cool, I think, to get a little bit about what he has. After the news, we are going to have Jessica Monsell to talk about the challenges of traveling while disabled. We have Gwen Duncan to talk about volunteerism. And you never know, we might have a very special guest before this program ends, Mr. Romano. You have to be very
all right, looking forward to it. We are the Travel Guys. Thanks for joining us, Carolyn. And boy, more KFBK staff here than ever I've ever
Can
seen
I just
on
say,
a weekend.
I just want to say something. Yeah, this is really impressive because, you know, there's a lot going on outside and things are kind of changing there's a lot of moving parts, but there's a full team, news team here in this studio working on the news and keeping you updated. So let's go to Carolyn right now. We are the Travel Guys. We'll be back in about 5 minutes right here on News Radio KFBK.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK every Sunday from 3 to 4. You can follow us at travelguysradio.com.
Our next guest is on the line here with us. Welcome, Jessica Monsell, to the Travel Guys.
Hey, good afternoon, Mark and Tom.
Hey, nice to talk to you. You are in South Carolina, is that right?
I'm in chilly Charleston, South Carolina.
All righty. And Jessica is the purveyor of ConsumerSense.org, and she is a consumer advocate. And I asked Jessica to join us today because there's a couple of things of interest. Actually, there was one, and then this morning she sent me a second one.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica, we were talking the last couple of weeks on this program about how some people seem to, you know, about the miracle flights from the Northeast where people are wheeled onto the plane in a wheelchair and then they magically walk off. And
right.
And how those are the flights where they call them miracle flights because people are obviously cured on the way to Florida for whatever it is that they do. But and we were kind of ragging folks who take advantage of the system a little bit. But you point out that the people for whom the system is set up, people who are disabled and people who use wheelchairs, often find that the system is a little bit lacking for them. Tell us about what you wrote about.
Well, I noticed back in October there were new rules that were published by the Department of Transportation with regard to airline passengers, and then specifically that the airlines had to report incidents of damage to wheelchairs separate from incidents of damage to checked luggage. So, of course, when passengers check wheelchairs, they go underneath the plane with checked bags. But now the airlines have to separately report damage statistics to the Department of Transportation, which doesn't seem very controversial in and of itself. Except
right.
When you read the background of the rule, there is a lobbying organization called Airlines for America that works on behalf of the major airlines in the United States. And they had said that they opposed the rule or the proposed rule at the time because they said there was no basis for the Department of Transportation to conclude that passengers with disabilities are reluctant to travel these passengers were not reluctant to travel for fear of damage to their wheelchairs. And I said, oh, that's a little odd, right? So I put a note out to some groups on Facebook and social media who used wheelchairs, and I said, what's your experience been? And the response was overwhelming. I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of messages from wheelchair users who said that a lot of them don't travel at all by air because they are afraid to give their wheelchairs over to the airlines. And some of them relayed some horrific experiences, that their chairs had been damaged beyond repair. And some of them said that even they couldn't, that the access to the aircraft, that there were no ramps. And then there were stairs and that the airline said, hey, you have to figure out your own way to get up these stairs. And some folks had just been subject to humiliating experiences. So it was quite eye-opening.
And we know from, I know from my own personal experience that the airlines providing passenger assistance, in other words, a wheelchair to get you, to help you off the plane, in some cases an aisle chair for people who can't get to their seat. An aisle chair, for those of you who don't know, is a very narrow wheelchair that will actually fit down the aisle of the airplane. And so for some people, without some of these services, they can't travel. And then you have the additional, what do you do if you get to the other end and they bring your wheelchair up from the cargo hold and it doesn't work? I mean, that would be a fairly serious situation, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a serious situation. And for a lot of people who use wheelchairs, they are custom made, right? So they are these very expensive pieces of equipment. Sometimes they're power operated, sometimes they're manual, but a lot of times they're custom. So it's not like you can just borrow a wheelchair from the airport or from, you know, a local a medical supply company. A lot of times folks are just entirely dependent on this mobility equipment. And when the airline damages it, you know, it really leaves people. I mean, just like if they said, we're going to take your shoes at TSA and we're not giving them back. Well, what do you do at that point? You can't walk around the city of your destination without your shoes. And, you know, these people can't get around. And so sometimes they arrive at their destination and find out, oh, we left it in your city of origin, just like, you know, you and I might experience that with a suitcase. Okay, we go to our hotel, we wait for it to show up the next day. But if you rely on that equipment, you can't just go on to your hotel and wait for it the next day.
So, Jessica, what do we suggest? What do we tell passengers who have disabilities and who have to travel with a wheelchair or a scooter or something like that? What's their course of action here?
Well, you know, the reality is, a lot of people are staying home, and that's a sad reality for a lot of wheelchair users. Of course, we want people to be able to travel and to have air travel be accessible for everyone. So, you know, one of the things that is important when you're planning your trip, of course, is to communicate with the airline and to do everything you can to make sure the airline knows what your needs are, and that you communicate that in advance. And once you arrive at the airport, that you continue to communicate with the airline representatives. Damage to wheelchairs on airplanes is a problem. I spoke with some airline representatives who said that you can request that your wheelchair be transported in the cabin if that space is available. And that's granted on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you call in advance and request that space, your chair may travel in the cabin of the aircraft, which, of course, you know, is a much safer place for your wheelchair to travel. So those are some of the recommendations I can make at this point for travelers with wheelchairs.
So consider the possibility, at least asking the airline if there's a possibility, and pointing out that if you have a customized wheelchair, or some, and I've seen some of these wheelchairs, particularly some of the ones for some of the wheelchair travelers who are athletic competitors. And in many cases, those are very expensive. Jessica, I want to ask you before we let you go here. We've got a couple of minutes. I wanted to ask you about something else that you alerted us to today. How one Virgin America's passenger's drink request led to threats of jail time. And this is a long story that really we don't have time to talk all about it on the air here. But basically, this lady's flying on an airplane, on a Virgin America plane, and she asked the flight attendant for a beverage, and the beverage that comes isn't hers, and she points out that it isn't the right one, and people go off the deep end, and this lady ends up, who is a paralegal, ends up in a really difficult situation. Can you give us a 60-second synopsis?
Sure. So this passenger, like you said, she requested a drink. The wrong drink came to her seat. She said, hey, I'm sorry, this isn't the wrong drink. And then she made inadvertent physical contact with the flight attendant, who sort of snapped at her and said, you're not allowed to touch me. So at that point, she could sense that there was some tension there. And she said, I'm sorry. I think I need to speak with another flight attendant. She rang her call button. And that flight attendant, instead of, you know, getting another flight attendant, that flight attendant parked the beverage cart, went to the cockpit. And about 30 seconds later, the captain came over the PA system and said to the woman in 5C, that was her seat assignment, if you touch anyone else, you will be arrested upon landing.
How humiliating.
Oh, my goodness. And she said it was the night of the debate, one of the presidential debates. So everybody had their headphones on. Everyone on board heard this announcement. Not only humiliating, but she had a long flight between Chicago and San Francisco. She was panicking that she was really going to be arrested. Another flight attendant came to her seat and gave her what is an FAA document that is essentially a cease and desist order. It's to say, if you continue this behavior, you will be arrested, you will be fined, you will be brought up on federal charges. So, you know, it's the tension in the sky sometimes really bubble over. And
what was the outcome on this, Jessica?
So Virgin America, they told me that she's not banned from flying, that she's welcome on the airline. And this woman was a regular frequent flyer with the company. She had flown 55 times in 18 months. She has since given away all of her frequent flyer miles and will no longer fly on Virgin America.
And the bottom line here, I think, is that if you get in the point I was trying to make by bringing this up is that if you get into the sky and you get into an altercation with a flight attendant on any level, you need to think seriously about just backing off, because here's an example of a lady who
she did back off.
Well, she did, but
didn't seem to help much.
Well, but it tells you that when you're in the sky, rightly or wrongly, those people are seriously in charge of your fate.
Yes,
and
that's right. Do not dig in your heels. It can have serious consequences, including arrest, and you don't want to be in that position.
Absolutely. Jessica Monsell, two terrific topics. We will talk to you again in a few weeks. I am sure you can find Jessica at consumersense.org, and she is there. If you have a consumer problem and it relates to travel, you might consider taking it to her, see if she can help you. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
All right. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. When we come back, Gwen Duncan talking to us about voluntourism. So welcome back to the travel. What's that guy doing down there in the parking lot?
I don't know, but
there's somebody in the parking lot who is, what is that contraption?
Not sure.
There's always a bunch of stuff around the radio station here. You should go down and check that out, I think.
You know, I will. All right. Kind of unusual.
Let's go to Gwen Duncan is on the line with us here. Hi, Gwen.
Hello.
We haven't talked to you for a while, my dear.
Happy New Year, Gwen.
Globetrotting all over the place, and we're not going to talk to you very long today.
I know you have a limited time. And I know our focus is supposed to be on social impact travel or volunteerism. And I'll just take it briefly. There are several cruise ships, actually, that are doing that and some land tour operators. But Ron and I did just experience one that was the whole purpose of the ship was to go to the Dominican Republic. And what we did was we helped build water filters, and we helped do reinforcement, you know, for plants, and that you could help with chocolate, teach people English, or even put semen in the floors of some of the homes. A lot of people don't think about going on a vacation and working, but this was not only was it impactful for the people, but it also was for us as participants. And it's something that I think everyone should really think about. It's not required on a lot of these different ships. The Carnival Corporation is going to have these impact trips as optional excursions on all of their ships.
Gwen, let me interrupt you for a minute and just ask you if is this something that you knew about before you sailed, or was it something you found out about after you got on the ship?
No, I knew about it for the DR. We had been on the Fathom to go to Cuba, and we knew that they did alternating weeks to Dominican Republic. And so we decided we wanted to take advantage of it. And so we went, and they had lots of choices of things to do, but you didn't have to do any of them if you didn't want to. But it was so impactful. And when you finished, it was a feel-good thing. That it isn't something you sit there, a lot of people went and sit there and think, I'm going to go on vacation and work, you know? But churches and philanthropic organizations will do that. But while we were on the trip, there were several people who had been, this was their second or third trip, just because it meant that much to them. Sadly, that trip is going to be ending in May of this year, and you'll have to do trips or those kind of optional excursions on other vessels if you're going to do it on a cruise. And I'll put that on my website, who's doing it, what it's called, and how you can do it. But it was wonderful, a wonderful experience.
Gwen, how much volunteerism is there? I mean, do you have a list of places and things to that people can sign up to do?
Absolutely. Now, a lot of organizations like philanthropic, like AAUWs and Rotaries and stuff, will do these kind of things for helping people with getting, you know, glasses and eyeglasses and stuff. There are a number of associations that put together these kind of impact type tours, and you can do them as land-based, like going to Guatemala and helping them build, you know, put cement in their homes and stuff. Colombia, there are a lot of different opportunities out there, but I got a chance to do it firsthand, and it's really impactful, not just for the people you're helping. We built water filters and showed people how to use them, and it was really an emotional opportunity. And when we finished, we were thinking we would like to do it again, and we're going to try to do it before that the Fathom stops doing it.
That is so cool. Gwen, there is a tourism group called Tourism Cares that three or four times a year gathers tourism professionals in different cities. They're going to be in Oakland, actually, in March.
Yeah.
And where we go out and do, paint light poles, get rid of garbage, projects that sometimes help the Park Service or whatever. And I can tell you there's a light pole on Coney Island that has my paint on it. So you're right. These kinds of things are an opportunity. And for folks who, it's an extra element to travel that people are just discovering, and it's really exploding like wildfire, because as you just expressed, being able to go someplace and help someone else as a part of your vacation seems eminently right for some reason.
Yes, it's a feel-good thing, but it's a surprise to me how much of an impact it made, on us personally. Because when you're finished, then you really feel like you really contributed to something, And it was really, really heartfelt to see the people appreciate the water filters that we had taken them in. And the reception of the people is just wonderful. It's just wonderful.
Amazing. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel joining us on the Travel Guys. You can find a link to Gwen's site. We're always telling people about how not to use third-party or online travel agencies. If you need a travel professional, you can talk to Gwen. Her link is on the Travel Guys website. We're going to take a short break. Tom has left the studio to go down and see what the heck is going on down here in the parking lot at KFBK. So the news always comes first here. So we'll be back. We are the Travel Guys. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. We are on the last lap here. I have lost my broadcast partner. Tom Romano has disappeared here. I want to take a minute and remind you about an important travel tip. We're always trying to make folks smarter travelers here. Remember, if you buy a domestic airline ticket, that you have 24 hours to cancel it without charge or to change it without charge. You may not know that every place, but it is the law that you have 24 hours to change a ticket. So if you buy a ticket, you get that confirmation by email, check it carefully, make sure the dates are right, the cities are right, your name is spelled right. Any problems, you've got that 24-hour window to check it. What we've got somebody on the phone here. It looks like a guest on the line. Hello, this is the Travel Guys.
Hello, Travel Guys.
This is Noah.
This is Noah. I have things to do. What do you want?
Noah, are you the gentleman down in the parking lot here with the contraption that I'm seeing? You're not that,
Noah.
Get back
in your cage. Get back in your cage.
Wait, you're not that.
Yes. Get back.
Noah, the Noah here at KF. I mean, we have a pretty large parking lot here at.
Yes.
What's
iHeartMedia has allowed me to use their parking lot for the final steps of my arc. You can see the waters are rising.
Noah, the
Consumnis River, and we will be launching soon. And we are gathering two of every kind, having a difficult time finding two Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Is that a call to our listeners that if anyone has a Madagascar cockroach,
yes,
to run over here immediately?
Well, I've had to turn away several Sacramento River.
Noah, is I want to ask you here, do you plan to be in Sacramento for long?
Oh, I don't believe so. The waters are rising as we speak. I certainly hope the travel guys have flood insurance.
Noah, thank you for taking a couple minutes out of your busy schedule to talk with us here. It sounds like you have more than enough problems on your own.
Yes, God bless you and Tom Harkin. I do need
yes.
two.
And if you see Tom, if you need two travel guys, maybe perhaps we can rush right down there at the end of I Have Bad News For You, though the travel guys are both guys, so I'm not sure if that's going to work very well with your format there, Noah. Nice
we
talking to you.
We don't discriminate on God's art.
Thank you, Noah, from the ARC in the iHeartRadio parking lot here. You never know what kind of news story you're going to get on KFBK. All right, the Travel Guys are headed for the last lap here. And next week on the Travel Guys, what are we going to... Oh, we have got a great... We're kind of the travel and entertainment guys. We have a great interview next week with a former member of the Eagles, Mr. Romano. Thank you for getting back here. Our gentleman from the Eagles that we're talking to next week, what's his name?
Timothy B. Schmidt, bass player for the Eagles, Sacramento born and raised, and Steve LaRosa. You know, I've known Steve for all my life practically,
and I still can't
pronounce his last name right. Yeah, we taped an interview, earlier this week, and we're going to have it for you next Sunday. Timothy B. Schmidt is now doing some solo work. He'll be at the Crest Theater on the 17th, and we had a wonderful sit-down with him.
Well, we'll have that interview next week on the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Stay dry as best as you can. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks for getting your rear end back in the studio before the end of the show there.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I can as well, I might imagine. We are the Travel Guys. See you next week.